Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, curse be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he, that individual, shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he, the one who trusts in the Lord, shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, this world, let's be honest about it, it is not a happy place. The world is full of confusion, turmoil, distress, anxiety, frustration. These feelings can overwhelm you. They can overtake you. But I felt the Holy Spirit saying something to me today. I felt Him saying something this week. And I felt Him speaking to me about what I'm going to call a dose of hope. An injection of hope into your life today. I feel like the Lord has already been speaking to us about this. But an injection of hope. And so looking at that text today that we just read, it tells us that the man who trusts in the arm of flesh is cursed. He falls under a curse. So I want us to look to the Lord very quickly. We're going to pray for this word, over this word. Father, thank you for the privilege of delivering your word. We believe that you have something to say to your people. We are preparing our hearts to hear what you're saying. Lord, not just so we can hear it, but so we can do it. So we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've got to understand something. As Christians, we're not like everybody else. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're supposed to understand something. We're supposed to know how to function in this world without being mastered by the world. So as we're being, and let's be honest about it, we're being slapped in the face with so much stupid stuff that the government is doing, and I might say even our governor, dumb stuff that they're doing in our country and in our state. I'm hearing something in spite of it all. I'm hearing something in the Spirit, and it's these three words: it doesn't matter. This is what I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say: it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, typically, when you say those words, it doesn't matter, it means that whatever you're referring to is of no importance, it's insignificant, it's of no value, it's not worth mentioning. And sometimes we'll even throw that phrase out there when we don't want to hear something or we want to shut somebody up. We'll just say something like, it's okay, it means it's okay, you can shut up now. It means basically, I'm done. That's not important to me. I'm over it. It doesn't matter. But when I'm using that phrase today, it's different. In my use, and I believe even as we read through the scripture, we're going to understand that it infers, that phrase infers not just to something that's small, insignificant, or meaningless, but it just means that no matter what the issue, the problem, or the subject matter might be, it's not going to pull me out of my secret place. It means that that subject matter that is confronting me, no matter how big it is, no matter how threatening it is, no matter how long it's been there, no matter how strong it seems to be, it's not going to steal my attention or my affection away from what really matters most, which is Jesus Christ. He's first. It doesn't matter. In comparison, in contrast to Jesus, it doesn't matter. So I feel the Holy Spirit wants to vaccinate us today with a good dose of it doesn't matter. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, take your medicine. So we all know this. The devil wants to get us under the circumstances. He wants to get us all weighted down and burdened down with all the negative, pressing, difficult, and even at times important circumstances of life. But the Holy Spirit wants us to learn how to live independent of, or I should say, on top of the circumstances.
Yes.
One day, believer number one asked the question of believer number two, how are you doing? Believer number two answered, all pretty good under the circumstances. Believer number one said, what are you doing under the circumstances? You're supposed to be in heavenly places. You're supposed to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The circumstances are supposed to be under your feet. Now, friends, when I say this, this doesn't mean that circumstances are not negative. It doesn't mean that we're in denial of the circumstances. It just means that we are empowered to rise above the circumstances. Paul said it this way, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state or situation or condition or circumstances I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what the circumstances are, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through it because Christ is strengthening me. It doesn't mean there won't be hard times. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean I won't feel pain sometimes. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I don't get disappointed sometimes, but it just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that I'll always get everything I want. It just means it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean things will always turn out the way I want them to. It just means it doesn't matter. Paul was saying, I can be up, I can be down, I can be full, I can be empty, I can have a lot of money in my pocket, or I can have nothing. It doesn't matter. I can have abundance or lack. It doesn't matter. The economy can be booming or the bottom falling out of everything. It doesn't matter. Somebody else said the same thing in the Bible. It was Habakkuk, the prophet. In Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Listen to what he says. Yet, even so, even then, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So he starts by saying, although, or we could say it this way. He says, even though, if. And then he begins to list the things that most people would consider the most cataclysmic events in life. The fig tree will not blossom. There's no fruit in the vines, which means no grapes to eat, no wine, which represents joy. The olives aren't producing any oil, and oil was a staple in Bible times. You couldn't make it without oil. You didn't have light. You couldn't cook. You had to have oil. The fields aren't producing anything. There's no produce coming from the field. The flocks are cut off from the fold, meaning for whatever reason, disease or theft or whatever, the flocks are gone. No herd in the stalls, either for food source or for labor. Any one of these things would be considered a great calamity, a source of grief and suffering. Yet the prophet says, although, which means even if every one of these horrific calamities were all to strike at one time, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. Although all of this should happen, although gas would go to $15 a gallon, although we can't run our lights anymore, although we can't turn on the heat, although this is happening, that's happening, that's happening. He says, although they take away your Medicare, they take away your Social Security, although they take away your health care and give it to somebody else, take away your Medicare, give it to somebody else, take away your insurance, give it to somebody else. Although, he said, although all these stupid, cataclysmic, insane things may happen, he said, it doesn't matter. I will still rejoice in the Lord my Savior. I'm going to rejoice. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't feel the effects of it. It's not that I won't miss my T-bone steak. It's not that I won't miss my lights. Or it's not that I won't miss these things, or that I won't feel the effects of them. But what he's saying is, whether everything is going great or everything is going to hell in a handbasket, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to praise the Lord. I'm still going to praise the Lord. He's saying something like this. He's saying, hell may empty itself at my doorstep, but praise will open the door and step over the top of it. Because it doesn't matter what the devil tries to do, all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. And it doesn't matter what comes, what goes, it doesn't matter hell or high water, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm not saying I won't get wet when it rains. I'm not saying I won't get cold if the electricity goes off. We've had blackouts here, and I could talk in tongues if I wanted to, but the lights stayed out. Gas prices go up. I can pull up to the tank speaking in tongues, but it still costs the same. I could shout all the way into the store, and shout all the way back, but the wallet feels the same. But it doesn't matter. Somebody wrote the song that says, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings or what it has in store, I will praise the Lord. Being a Christian doesn't mean we're exempt from problems, from hardships, from trials, tribulations. It doesn't mean you'll never suffer loss or have a broken heart, but it means we learn how to live from a higher place, from the heavenly places of, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying I don't care. I'm not saying it has absolutely no effect on me. I'm not saying I'm impervious to pain. I'm not saying I won't ever fall down. I'm not saying I won't ever cry. I'm not saying I won't question why. I'm just saying it doesn't matter. I'm just saying I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to praise him anyway, because you see, I have found out this is the real battle. The devil is after your joy. He's after your praise. And there's nothing more confusing, more debilitating, more humiliating to the devil than for him to throw his best shot at you, like he did at Brother Greg, like he did at Sister Tanya. But instead of backing up, instead of backsliding, going into depression, you square your shoulders back, you lift your head, you open your mouth, and you start declaring the praises of God, because it doesn't matter. There's unbelievable power in a midnight praise.
Yes,
all you have to do is ask Paul and Silas.
Yes.
You know, did they feel like praising God? I don't think they did. But they made a choice. They could have went into pity or praise. And so they decided to praise. And when they praised, God sent an earthquake, shook the prison off its foundation, opened the doors of every cell, and every prisoner's handcuffs and chains fell off.
Amen.
Because of a midnight praise.
Yeah.
Because somebody said it doesn't matter. My back may be bleeding. I may have been humiliated publicly and stripped and beaten in public and humiliated and ridiculed, but it doesn't matter. I will praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. One misconception many people have is that praise has to be joyful or pretty, or it's not really praise and it's not powerful. But that's not true. In fact, it's really just the opposite. When you study the book of Job, it's probably one of the greatest examples of this in the Bible. He lost everything, including his health. He was a broken man, weeping in ashes. And no doubt his eyes were swollen and bloodshot. But instead of cursing God, the Bible says, he worshiped God. He worshiped God through his pain. Was it a pretty praise? I don't think so. I think it was an ugly praise. But it reached the ears of God. It reached the heart of God. And in the end, God restored Job double for his trouble. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, double for your trouble. Woo, hallelujah. So, it doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, this was our text, and look at it again. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. His heart departs from the Lord. He, that individual that puts his trust in man and departs from God, is like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. But then here comes the contrast. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, and neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So I want to look at these. First of all, it says, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't say, thus saith Jeremiah, thus saith Ezekiel, thus saith prophet so-and-so, or pastor so-and-so. This is God talking. Everybody say, God is talking. And God pronounces a curse on the man that turns away from him and puts its confidence in the arm or the strength or the ability of the flesh. That means that he is trusting in anything apart from God. In other words, trusting in money, trusting in people, trusting in technology, trusting in medicine, trusting in doctors, trusting in lawyers. Not meaning any of these things are wrong, just meaning that they're evil when they take the place of trusting in God with our hearts. And when we do that, if we do that, we bring ourselves under a curse. Then continuing, the person who takes their trust away from God and places it in the arm of flesh, listen what he says about him. He, she, they will be like the heath in the desert. They will not see when good cometh, but they will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. Now, Gill's Bible commentary says this. The heath, because I wondered, what in the world is a heath? The heath is a low shrub, fruitless and useless, because it neither bears fruit nor seed. It is reckoned among unhappy plants, and such as are condemned or forbidden religious uses. It's very fit to represent such persons as put their trust in men and in themselves and in the arm of the flesh and not in the Lord. So notice what the Bible says about the heath in the desert, or the man who trusts in his flesh and not in God. He will not see when good cometh, but he will dwell in a dry place. I love the Bible. We need the Bible. We need the word. We need it even when it hurts. You know, all medicine don't taste good. But sometimes you got to take something that don't taste good to get well. Sometimes the Bible, the Word of God, when it comes, is like a bitter pill to swallow. But if you get it down, it can heal you. And so listen what it says about him. That he, the one who is dwelling apart from God, his trust is not in God, but it's in the arm of flesh. He lives in a spiritual dry place, a desolate place. They will be far from the presence of God, no joy, no peace, no favor, and the goodness of God will be hid from them. You see that? It says, and they shall not see when good comes. Notice that. It says the goodness of God will come. Doesn't say the goodness of God won't come. It just says when it comes, they won't see it. Which means they won't perceive it. In other words, it can be raining blessings all around them, but they will be living in a perpetual drought. Do you understand that? While God is pouring out his blessings, they will be living in the atmosphere of drought because they will not have the capacity to perceive or receive what God is doing. So the goodness of God is manifesting all around them, but they're living in the land of drought. Rain is falling all around them, and they're complaining about how hot, how dry, how desolate, how miserable it is, because their eyes are blinded to the goodness of God. Amen. Now, God says, on the other hand, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her rivers by her roots by the river, and they, he, she shall not see when heat cometh. Now, the other one that trusts in the flesh will not see when good cometh. But the one that's dwelling in the Lord and his confidence is in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, whose trust in the Lord, won't see when heat cometh. Woo!
Praise God.
But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Living Bible says it this way. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Woo! Glory to God. Blessed, happily favored and fortunate are those whose hope, trust, and confidence is in the Lord. These trees are not useless. They are not fruitless shrubs. These trees are planted along a riverbank, which means they are in a place of continuous and abundant supply. And then it says their roots reach deep into the water. And the water represents both the Spirit and the Word. And so these trees are reaching deep into the Word and deep into the Spirit. And what is it like for these trees that put their trust in the Lord? In contrast to the shrubs that put their trust in the arm of flesh. These trees, everybody say, I am a tree of righteousness. My trust is in the Lord. These trees are not bothered by the heat. They're not worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. It doesn't matter. That's what it's saying. It doesn't matter what the climate is, what the condition is, what the atmosphere is, what the circumstances is, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on bearing fruit. My leaf is not going to turn brown. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on bearing fruit. So here's what I want to bring to your attention today. The trees and the shrubs that are mentioned here, from a natural perspective, are enduring the same physical circumstances or conditions. So there's a tree here and there's shrub here. Same drought season. Same time of desolation. Same situation. Gas prices are the same for both of them. Inflation's the same for both of them. Food prices the same for both of them. Family troubles the same for both of them. Battles are the same for both of them. Battles in their health, the same for both of them. They're both going through similar circumstances. But notice what it says. The trees that are planted by the rivers of water are the ones whose confidence, hope, and trust is in the Lord. These trees, they are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. It didn't say that the heat doesn't come. It doesn't say because I'm a believer, I'm impervious, I'm exempt from it. It says I'm not bothered by it. It says it's not going to pull me away from my spot. I'm planted by the rivers of living water. My roots go down deep and search out the life-giving water and word. And I'm not going to be bothered. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I've got an abundant supply within reach. So, the shrubs, the heath, the useless, fruitless shrubs, they can't perceive what good comes. Listen to this. We're just the opposite. We're tapping into the goodness of God in the middle of the drought, in the midst of the heat. Our roots have found the source of strength and refreshing. We have learned how to seek out the anointing and the presence of God. So what is the ultimate result of those who put their trust, their confidence in God? Their leaves shall always be green. They will never be fruitless. No matter what the circumstances are. Are you getting it? It doesn't matter what the conditions are. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing or what Newsom is doing or what anybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing in New York or what they're doing in Colorado or what they're doing in Maine or what they're doing in this place or that place or the other place. It does not matter. It's not going to change one thing in my spirit. I still got myself planted by the rivers of living water, and my roots are searching out the life-giving, nurturing spirit and the word of God. So here's what I heard the Lord say. He said, in 2024, my people must trust me more. He said, there's going to be a clear line of distinction in 2024 between those who are trusting the arm of flesh and leaning to the arm of flesh and those who are trusting in the Lord. He said, those who are leaning to and trusting in the arm of flesh are going to be cast down. They're going to be disappointed. They're going to be confused and bewildered. They're going to be in a continual state of frustration. They will have no joy, no peace, and they won't even recognize a single good thing that God is doing. They'll put everything in the same basket and nothing will really satisfy them. Now that's what God says. On the other hand, those who are trusting in the Lord. Everybody say, he's talking about me now. Satan's talking about you a while ago. He's talking about me now. Those who are trusting in the Lord, dwelling in his presence, living by his word, they're going to be joyful, confident, expectant, at peace, walking in divine favor, fruitful, productive, and thankful. They will have spirit eyes. They will see the good as it comes right in the middle of all the drought of human failure and evil and confusion. They will, everybody say, that's me. They will, I will, you will have the capacity to perceive and receive all the good that God is doing. It doesn't matter what crazy stuff's happening in this world. I'm telling you, God is still at work. God didn't stop being good because we got a crazy governor. God didn't stop being good because we got a crazy government. God didn't stop being good because of the prices. God didn't stop being good because things are going wrong in your body or in your health. God is good all the time, and He is worthy to be praised all the time. And it doesn't matter what comes. Listen, it doesn't matter what comes or what goes. I'm going to praise the Lord. And I'm going to have eyes that have the capacity to perceive when good comes. Those who are trusting in the flesh, those who are trusting in the natural, those who are trusting in systems and circumstances, when good comes, they won't even see it. They won't have the ability or the capacity to perceive it. So while you're talking about, man, God's been good to me, I tell you, God's been blessing me. They're going to be going, but I don't know where you're. It's not that way in my life. It's not that way in my house. Well, that's because you need to get over here by the streams of living water. You need to get planted over here in the realm of trusting the Lord with all your heart. Because when you're living in that realm of confidence in the flesh, it blinds your eyes to the goodness of God. You don't have the capacity to perceive the goodness of God. And it's critical to your faith that you perceive the goodness of God. Because the devil wants us to be so preoccupied with all the evil and darkness and wickedness and perversion and stupidity and insanity that we can't see the goodness of God. But when we trust in the Lord, it gives us the ability to perceive His goodness. Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Psalms 20:7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God is saying in 2024, trust me more. Don't put your trust in the government or judicial systems or the monetary system or the medical system or the electoral system. Don't put your trust in the Republican Party or in Trump or any other political candidate. Don't put your trust in chariots or horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God, in whom we put our trust. You know, they're doing everything they can to get rid of it, but still, if you pull your money out, it still says, in God we trust. That's what needs to happen in America. We got to get back to in God we trust. So I'm going to say this. I believe, in spite of all the crazy, evil things that are going to happen in 2024, 2024 is going to be a tumultuous year. It is going to be crazy. What we've seen in the past is it's chicken feed compared to what they're working on. The stuff that is coming down the line. This is why I feel the Holy Spirit is saying, please inject my people with a dose of hope. Tell them to trust in me with all their heart. We've got to be able to have the ability to perceive the goodness of God in the midst of it all. So in spite of all the crazy, evil, dark things that are going to happen, those who are putting their trust in the Lord are going to soar. We're going to soar above the confusion, above the turmoil, above the strife. We're going to soar into the goodness and the glory of God. And we're going to be green and we're going to be producing fruit, and we will become more and more attractive to the world, because in a spiritual sense, they are starving to death and they're dying of thirst. And we that trust in the Lord are going to be their lifeline to God. Stand with me all over the house. What are you going to say? Pastor, what is it? What is the Lord saying? 2024, this is what He said. trust me more.
Yes.
Trust me more.
Yes.
And then what he said was, if you trust me more, it won't matter.
Yes.
If you trust me more, it won't matter. If you trust me more, it won't matter. Doesn't mean hard times won't come. Doesn't mean you won't be tested. Doesn't mean you won't be tried. I can remember back in 2011 when I thought I was going to die. I felt like I was going to die. I looked like I was going to die. In 2011, I mean, I'm sick, throwing up like 10, 12 times a day, and just to get out of pain. And I'm there, and I'm heaving. And my eyes, you know, I don't know about yours, but my eyes, they just get all watery when I'm heaving. And as the tears were coming down my face, my nose was running, and I'm hanging over the toilet, and I'm saying, God, I'm going to praise you. It doesn't matter. I told the Lord, it doesn't matter. I can die right here with my head over this toilet. The last thing you're going to hear is, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I told the devil, take your best shot. It doesn't matter. You're not going to steal my praise. You're not going to steal my praise. I'm not in a dry, desolate land. I'm in the presence of God. Did you know you can be walking through the hardest place in your life, the greatest difficulty, the greatest trial, the greatest fire of your life, and have the greatest cognizant experience and consciousness of the presence of God that you've ever had in your life? Right in the middle of it all. Do you think the three Hebrew children didn't experience the presence of God in the fire? If you think that, you're wrong. Because the Bible said the king looked in. He said, look, didn't we throw three men in the fire? They said, king, you're right about that. He said, but something's going on. I see four men walking in the fire. And they're up and they're loose and they're walking around. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. I'm going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow down. They said, oh, look, king, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Maybe God will save us from the fire. Maybe he won't. Doesn't matter. I don't know what we're going to have to go through, friend. I don't know. I'm not going to prophesy to you that in 3 months everything's going to smooth out. It's going to go back to Mayberry RFD. I'm not going to tell you that. What I am going to say is if we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because the worst that the devil can do is just going to turn to our glory. It's going to turn to the glory of God. It will work out for the good. So when I see all this wicked, ugly stuff ramping up, I say, oh, God must be setting things up for something big. Because he is never going to let the devil outdo him.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, the devil thought, hey, got it. He got Jesus, falsely accused him, got up on that cross, spit on him, humiliated. People jeering, criticizing. Come down, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Save yourself. You can't even save yourself. How are you going to save anybody else? The devil says, we got him now. Humiliate him. Humiliate him. Do everything you can to strip any self-worth or pride out of his life. And then, put him in a tomb. And all the demons started celebrating. And the devil said, it's time for a party. We got it now. It's done. It's over. And it got blacker and blacker and blacker. And the Bible says it got so dark the sun hid its face. And the earth shook. And then they took Jesus. They put him in that tomb. And then the devil took him down into the pits of hell. So the Bible says. And there they parted and they said, it's over. We got him. It's done. Oh, and it looked like it too. It looked like it. But on the third day, I don't know how it happened. Something started happening. Down there in the caverns of the damned. Down there where there's no light. The light of the world started to shine. It had to be only God. Listen to this. It only God could have made such a thing happen. Because God would have had to have veiled Jesus' light for just a little bit for the devil to even get him down there in the dark. Because he's the light of the world. But all of a sudden, the light came back on. The demons started flying left and right. They said, "Whoa, what's going on?" And he came up off of that, came up out of the tomb. And the Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers. And he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. And then he didn't just do that. He wasn't satisfied just to do that. He wasn't satisfied just to humiliate the devil and strip the devil and make him look like the fool he was. He said, "I'm going to give this same power to my church. I'm going to give them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I'm going to give them power to cast out devils and heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead."
Lord,
well, bottom line, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Woo! Look at somebody and say, "He said it doesn't matter."
He said it doesn't matter.
Say, "God said it doesn't matter."
God said it doesn't matter.
Say, "Trust in the Lord,
trust in the Lord
with all your heart.
With all your heart.
And the rest don't matter."
And the rest don't matter.
This is for me today. It doesn't matter. No matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you what to me is such a blessing. Would you just reach over to the person next to you? Take their hand for just a moment. Is this. This is what matters so much to me. Is that I can still see the goodness of God no matter what's happening around me. My eyes are open. I have spiritual perception. I can see His goodness. I've got to see His goodness. I've got to see His goodness. I have to see His goodness. I have to see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I have to see the Lord's goodness no matter what's going on. I want you to pray for that person right next to you today. I want you to pray for them no matter what is happening in their lives right now, that they will see the goodness of God, that they will perceive the light of God, that they will perceive the goodness of God shining into that circumstance, shining into that family, shining into that situation, shining into that body, shining into your finances. Oh, the goodness of God. We declare the goodness of God today. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We lean not to our own understanding. We thank You for the spiritual ability to perceive Your goodness, Lord, to perceive Your faithfulness, Lord, and to receive Your goodness, God. We cast off the fear. We cast off the despair. We cast off the frustration. We cast off, Lord, the hopelessness, the sense of frustration and confusion. We cast it all off, Lord. We cast off the anxiety today, and we rest in Your goodness. Oh, God, we rejoice in Your goodness, Lord. Although the fig tree may not blossom, although there's no fruit in the field, although the labor of the olive may cease, we rejoice in the goodness of our God. In the goodness of our God. In the goodness of our God. God is good all the time. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Ishadabarabasanda. Ilalalamasanda. Good, You say. Good, You say. I hear You, the Lord says. You say good. I say I'm better than that. I'm better than good. I'm great. And I will show you My goodness, saith the Lord. Yea, I will show you My goodness. As you surrender, as you seek Me, as you spend time in My presence, as you rejoice in my goodness, as you rejoice in my faithfulness, I will show you my goodness. And I will show you my goodness to such a degree and such a measure that those around you will become envious and they will become jealous, saith the Lord. And they will desire what you have. And they will want to know, how in the world did you get what you got? And did you get where you are? And how in the world are you so happy when everything is so wrong? How in the world are you so grateful and so thankful when there's nothing to be grateful or thankful about? But you shall tell them, it is the goodness of God in my life. And I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will refresh you, and I will renew you, says the Lord, as the waters renew the trees that are planted by them. I will refresh you, and I will renew you, and you shall never cease from yielding fruit. And your leaf shall never become brown, but it shall be green as a proof that I am your God, and I am faithful to you.
Yes, glory
to
God.
Oh, yeah. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Let's just worship him for just a moment. Let's just worship him for just a moment. We don't have to run off without worshiping. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good to us. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Sing that again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Hallelujah, Lord, you've been so good to me. I just want to thank you, Lord. You shine. I want to say thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, you're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Pam, I want you to pray the dismissal prayer today. If you would, please.
Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. It is a wonderful word of encouragement. God, you are a good God. May we perceive in these days to come that you are good and you are for us. None can be against us. We ask you, God, to go with each one. Bless us today throughout this day. We give you all praise and honor and glory.
Jesus, wonderful. Amen, amen. You turn around and tell five people, God is good to me because I'm his favorite.